His divine grace abideth, Chadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Kijaya. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya. Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindavan Kijaya. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya. Premse Goh Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadaha Shidwasiti Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijaya Shri Radha Krishna Gopagopata Sayam Kundrata Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijaya Vrindavanam Kijaya Maturam Kijaya Devadeepdam Kijaya Jagatasami Kijaya Yuvanamai Kijaya Shrimati Lasti Devi Kijaya Samveda Bhakta Vrindavanam Kijaya Gaura Premananda Kijaya. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, we'll read the translation to this prayer. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy. Where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Swarup Damodara Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities, being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes? Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Akaliya Krishnadas. Akaliya Krishnadas is one of the Dwadasha, that means 12 coward boy associates of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda was always his life and soul. And not much is known about him. He appeared in this place called Vardhaman, which is about an hour or so from Shidan Mayapur. Sometimes we even take the train. There was a train from Vardhaman to Tundla. Tundla is near Agra, and that was actually a very easy way to go when we go by train, to go from Vrindavan to Mayapur, or Mayapur to Vrindavan. You know, most devotees, when they would take the train, they would go all the way to Calcutta, and then they would take the train to Delhi. And actually, that's adding about 5 hours onto the train trip, because the other places are actually closer to each other. Anyway, so he appeared in Vardhaman, which is one of the main train stations. And we should pray for his mercy, Kaliya Krishna Das. Okay, now we'll go on to Srimad Bhagavatam, fifth canto, fifth chapter, text 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sarvani.
Sarvani.
Mat Nishyat. Bhavadvish Sharani Uchani Sita Rubani Sambhavita Vaya Sambhavita Vyani Pade Pade Vaha Vivikta Rigvish Tad U Parhanam Me Sarvani Madhishnyateya Bhavadvish
Sarvani Madhishnyateya Bhavadvish
Sharani Bhutani Sutadruvani
Sharani Bhutani Sutadruvani
Sambhavata Vyani Pade Padevo
Sambhavata Vyani Pade Padevo
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Harhanam Ve
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Harhanam Ve
Sarvani Madhishnyateya Bhavadvish
Sarvani Madhishnyateya
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Sambhavata Vyani Pate Patevo. Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Harhanambe. Sarvani Madhishyatya Bhavadvish. Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Sambhavata Vyani Pade Patevo.
Sambhavata Vyani Pade Patevo.
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Haranam Ve.
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Haranam Ve.
Okay.
Sarvani Madhishnyatyaya Bhavadvi.
Sarvani Madhishnyatyaya Bhavadvi.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Sambhavita Vyani Pade Padevyo.
Sambhavita Vyani.
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Haranam Ve.
Vivikta Drig Vishtadu Haranam Ve.
Sarvani Madhishnyataya Bhavavi.
Sarvani Madhishnyataya Bhavavi.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Charani Bhutani Sutta Dravani.
Sambhavita Vyani Pade Padevo.
Sambhavita Vyani Pade Padevo.
Sarvani,
Sarvani,
all,
Mat
Nishyataya, because of being my sitting place, Bhavadvihi, by you, Charani, that move, Bhutani, living entities, Sutaha,
my dear sons,
Dhruvani,
that do not move.
Sambhavita Vyani,
to be respected.
Pade Pate, at every moment. Baha, by you. Vivikta Drig Bihi,
possessing clear vision and understanding.
That the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His Paramatma features situated everywhere. Tatu, that indirectly. Certainly. Arhanam,
offering respect.
May,
unto me.
Translation, my dear sons, you should not envy any living entity, be he moving or non-moving. Knowing that I'm situated in them, you should offer respect to all of them at every moment. In this way, you offer respect to me. So you can repeat, my dear sons.
My dear sons.
You should not envy any living entity.
You should not envy any living entity.
Be moving or non-moving.
Be moving or non-moving.
Knowing that I'm situated in them.
Knowing that I'm situated in them.
You should offer respect.
You should offer respect.
To all of them at every moment.
To all of them at every moment.
In this way.
In this way.
You offer respect to me.
You offer respect to me.
So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the word vivikta drigmihi, meaning without envy, is used. All living entities are the abodes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His Paramatma feature. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, anantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. The Lord is situated in this universe as Garbhadakshayi Vishnu and Shuradakshayi Vishnu. He is also situated within every atom. According to the Vedic statement, Ishavashramidam Sarvam, the Supreme Lord is situated everywhere, and wherever He is situated is His temple. We even offer respects to a temple from a distant place, and all living entities should similarly be offered respect. This is different from the theory of pantheism, which holds that everything is God. Everything has a relationship with God because God is situated everywhere. We should not make any particular distinction between the poor and the rich, like the foolish worshippers of Daridra Narayana. Narayana is present in the rich as well as the poor. One should not simply think Narayana is situated among the poor. He is everywhere. An advanced devotee will offer respects to everyone, even to cats and dogs. Vidyavinaya sampane brahmane gavi hoshtani shuni choiva swapaki cha pandita samadarshanaha. The humble sage, by virtue of true knowledge, sees with equal vision a learned and gentle brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog eater outcast. Bhagavad Gita 5th Chapter, text 18. This samadarshana, equal vision, should not be mistaken to mean that the individual is the same as the Supreme Lord. They're always distinct. Every individual person is different from the Supreme Lord. It is a mistake to equate the individual living entity with the Supreme Lord on the plea of vivikta-drik or samadrik. The Lord is always in an exalted position, even though He agrees to live everywhere. Srila Madhvacharya, quoting Padma Purana, states, Vivikta drishti jivanam dishnyataya parameshvarasya veda drishtihi. One who has clear vision and who is devoid of envy can see that the Supreme Lord is separate from all living entities, although He is situated in every living entity. Madhvacharya further quotes from the Padma Purana, Upapadayet. Paramatmanam jivebhyo ya pade pade vede naiva na chaitasmat priyo vishnostu kanchana. A one who sees the living entity and the Supreme Lord as always distinct is very dear to the Lord. Padma Purana also states, yovares chaiva jivanam veda vakta hare priyaha. One who preaches that the living entities are separate from the Supreme Lord is very dear to Lord Vishnu. So, Sarvani madhishnyataya bhavadvishcharani bhutani dutadruvani sambhavata vyani pate patevo viviktadrigvishtaru harhanam me. So Om Ganati Miranda Shaganan Shana Shlakaya Chakshuru Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So here you see two things in this particular verse in purport, which is the oneness and difference of the living entities from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is one of the primary facets of our philosophy called the Chincha Veda Veda Tabla. That everything is one and different from the Supreme Lord simultaneously and inconceivably. And this Achincha Beta Beta Tattva philosophy pervades different aspects of the Krishna conscious philosophy. Like we talk about the sunshine, the sun globe, and the living entities within the sun. You know, different ways, understanding how the sunshine is different and non-different from the sun. Anyway, so Prabhupada gives many examples. I don't need to get into that point. But the real point here is one that is actually quite controversial, and it's one of the controversies that we're dealing with right now in ISKCON, which is, you know, how to deal with other living entities insofar as charity or even bridge preaching is concerned. This is actually a major conflict going on. I mean, on one hand, you have someone like Vasudev the leper. I think some of you heard this story. Vasudev the leper, he doesn't have leprosy now, but he had leprosy when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came across him. And he was so, let's say, charitable, compassionate, empathic with the living entities, even the living entities that were within his body, the worms. Because when you have leprosy, it's literally, you know, the worms crawl in and the worms crawl out. Is that poem goes in your stomach and out your mouth. Anyway, I'm not going to get into the whole poem. But the worms were actually crawling in his open sores, his leprotic sores. And what he did, you know, you would think that someone would take the worms, just like we do with mosquitoes, but not too many mosquitoes here, but the mosquitoes in India. You know, recently I was at Govardhan, and you hear the mosquitoes at night, you know, like in an airport. And, you know, even at night I just wake up and go, not clapping in ecstasy, but, you know, trying to smash the little creatures to death. And then finally I got this thing that plugged into my wall called Good Night, which is a, you plug it in the wall and it emits like a poison in the air, so all the living entities, except for yourself, of course, long term, who knows what it does to yourself, but all the living smaller living entities in the room die. It's like an insecticide, electric insecticide. Anyone seen that living in India? I'm sure you've seen that. And it, you know, I ended up coughing because of that too at night. It's actually, as far as I understand, it's poisonous. Some of the devotees said, well, it doesn't kill the insect. He just falls unconscious and he wakes up the next morning and flies away. Yeah, because I was questioning, is this compassionate? And they said, no, it just makes him have a good night's sleep. That's why it's called Good Night. But it's good for the insect too, because it needs a good night to recuperate his health. So, anyway, so my attitude is quite different than Vasudev the leper. You know, I just want to smash the little creatures. And Prabhupada, it's interesting with Prabhupada when he was being massaged by Shrutakirti. He didn't let Shrutakirti kill the bugs until the bug landed on him. And he said, now he's our enemy. So, you know, because it says in the Vedic culture, Manusamhita, in fact, that you can kill an enemy, but only if the enemy sets fire or attacks you with poison or steals, kidnaps your wife or sets fire to the house. I mean, there's all these things that it's allowed to kill. That doesn't justify us becoming vigilantes and, you know, killing people just because they happen to come to the temple, they want to do some nonsense at the temple. Actually, Prabhupada said, there's one instance, I'm trying to remember, oh yeah, that was an instance in Miami, in fact, not when I was there, but there was one person who ran away with someone else's wife, and the person who originally had the lady as his wife, that's interesting, he killed the second person who ran away with his wife, or ex-wife, or whatever you may call it nowadays. And the devotees asked Prabhupada, is this justified homicide? Because you hear this sometimes, justified homicide. And Prabhupada said no, because it was premeditated. The only time when it's allowed is someone is actually kidnapping your wife, not if she runs away with the guy, you know, which happens most of the time nowadays. That someone is actually like dragging your wife away, like the Pandavas. I mean, Draupadi. There was attempted kidnapping in Draupadi sometimes too. And the Pandavas attacked. They did actually kill the people, but they they actually cut their hair off and things like that. So that was Jayadrath. It's very interesting. So in any case, then Prabhupada did indicate you could smash the bug, but only when the bug became your enemy, when it actually landed on you, which is actually interesting. So, but Vasudev, the leper, he was actually taking the bugs and putting them back in his sores because he was so humble. See, that's one of the points when you're offering obeisances or offering respects to other living entities. You don't consider yourself better than them. You know, that's our problem. You know, we consider we have first priority because, you know, I'm me. Whatever that means. That, you know, I'm more important than you. I mean, literally, this is, of course, the false ego. You know, I am mine. You know, so much is mine today, so much more will I get today, and we're all in competition for resources. And when you're driving, or at least when I'm driving, I experience that too, or at least when I'm driving with some devotee, I won't mention his name, that, you know, he gets angry when someone else pulls ahead of him, or someone, I mean, cutting you off is another thing, but someone has a better car or whatever than him. And it's the whole idea that I'm important, I'm special, rather than thinking that I'm actually just one of the other living entities. And in Krishna's eyes, we're all equal. In Krishna's eyes, just like it's described here about a Brahman, Vidya Vinaya Sampane Brahmani Gavi Hastani Shuni Chaiva Sopakicha Pandita Samadarshana, the learned and gentle sage, he sees all these living entities, where the Brahman, a cow, a dog, a dog eater, he sees them all equally because Krishna loves them all equally. So that's, you know, that's the equality. So you have, anyway, you have that example of Vasudev the leper. Vasudev Dhat was another person. A Vasudev who actually saw like that. He said, why am I thinking that I'm more important than these bugs here, than these insects? I mean, that's a very exalted stage of consciousness. Of course, later on, because he had that consciousness, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him, and guess what? The leprosy disappeared. And his body became extremely beautiful, extremely handsome at that point. So Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that compassion. Okay, so that's one side, let's say one side. And the other side is that, you know, people criticize, or even devotees criticize other devotees when they try to do charitable activities. I mean, for example, in ISKCON, there's charitable activities like the school in Govardhan, or, you know, Food for Life when there was that crisis in Haiti, or the crisis in Sri Lanka, and all these other crises around the world, that Food for Life goes and distributes prasadam to these people. And also in Vrindavan we have this program, what's called an eye camp. It doesn't mean I mean I me and mine camp, you know. We all like to go to that type of eye camp. So no, it's what it is in Barshana, the doctors from Bombay, Chokati, and other places in Bombay, the eye doctors, they actually get together and have this this clinic where they're dealing, you know, helping people with their eye problems. And they're processing so many hundreds of people a day. And so then you have that criticism that, oh, this is just mundane charity. So it's quite interesting. You know, these are two opposite sides of the same thing. You know, that there's the one side where you just put the bugs back in your body. You know, someone like extremely compassionate to all living entities. And then the other side where people criticize devotees for engaging in charity and charitable works, you know, and feeding other people and other things like that. So what, where do we fit in that? I mean, what is the proper understanding of paying respects to all living entities? Should we just, as one devotee says, should we just consider Food for Life to be like Food for Death? I mean, one devotee on the internet, he says that Food for Life is food for death because it gets Prabhupada's instructions. But Prabhupada also gave us many instructions insofar as charitable activities. I mean, one instruction was when he saw the children fighting with the dogs in Mayapur for the remnants of the devotees. You know, the devotees had their leaf plates. At that time, people ate on leaf plates. And they put the leaf plates out, and the dogs of the Holy Dhamma were attacking. And the children were fighting the dogs to try to get some of that prasanna, the remnants of the prasanna. Prabhupada started crying. And then he said, anyone within like a 10-mile radius of the temple should not go hungry. Another time, Prabhupada was talking about how devotees should arrange. He said there's so much milk products in the West that they should make powdered milk out of it and send it all to India, or grains to India to feed people. And in this way, he said that people become very favorable in India to us because we're feeding people. So Prabhupada also wanted some sort of distribution of food and charitable activities. However, Prabhupada, on the other hand, Prabhupada always wanted it connected with the preaching of Krishna consciousness. In other words, like distribution of prasadam, it's not that Prabhupada wanted us to distribute mundane food to everybody, but when you distribute prasadam, then people are making spiritual advancement. It's called the jnana sukriti. So if you distribute prasadam, even if people don't know what they're eating, like Prabhupada one time was talking about, if you give someone a Simply Wonderful, they'll come to the temple, they'll become a devotee, and they'll become Simply Wonderful. And of course, the devotee commented who Prabhupada was speaking to. He said, Prabhupada, you are Simply Wonderful. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's all right, during that whole discussion. So the point is, by distributing prasadam, then we're making people devotees. Of course, we want to distribute prasadam to rich people and poor people. It's not that we only distribute prasadam to poor people. However, distributing prasadam to people who are in need actually helps the movement in the sense that people will respect us and take shelter of Krishna, will respect us as compassionate people. I mean, it's not simply PR, you know, we're doing it for PR, that, you know, people should like us, respect us, or we should put in the newspaper, you know, Hare Krishna's help people. But it's important that people in general see us as being compassionate to other entities. Not simply, and also if we're not compassionate, not simply interested in some philosophical brain substance, brain jugglery or word jugglery. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also for our own selves, this is the point I'm going to make with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, also for our own selves, we ignore and we see people suffering and we don't do anything about it, it'll make our hearts hard. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur taught his disciples that when they were in the Holy Dham one time and there were a lot of beggars asking for things. And the devotees were just like ignoring the beggars, just thinking, you know, we're better than them. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, you know, you think you're better than them. Your heart, it'll make your heart very hard. So if we, in the name of philosophy, you know, in the name of philosophy, we can say to people, that's your karma, you know, or that's Krishna's arrangement. You know, it's a very uncompassionate thing to say. Also, with devotees, you know, let's say if a devotee falls sick, a devotee has a problem, if we just explain, you know, Prabhu, be a little detached from the body, Matras Parshas Dakontiya Sitoshna Sukha Dukada Ga Mai Panao Nijast Tamsa Tiksha Shabharata. Happiness and distress, pleasure and pain, heat and cold, they're meant to be tolerated. Don't be in Maya Prabhu. You imagine going to the hospital and saying that to people? Then, first of all, it'll drive the people away from Krishna consciousness. And secondly, our hearts will be very hard. If one has a hard heart, you cannot properly chant the Lord's holy names. Of course, Lord Chaitanya teaches us this in his Shikshashtaka, that chanadapi suni chenea, tararapi sishna, manina manadena. Same thing is here. Offering respects to all living entities, not expecting respect, but offering respects to other living entities. In this way, you can chant the holy names properly. You know, feeling compassion, feeling pain to see the other living entities suffer. And just like that other Vasudev, Vasudev Dat, he felt so much pain, he was willing to suffer himself, practically speaking, eternally, so that others can be relieved from suffering. So that has to be the proper mood of the devotee. However, we do not want to engage in mundane charity. So that's the other side. You know, mundane charity would be simply something without any connection with Krishna, any hope of bringing the person to Krishna consciousness. Just, I mean, for example, just giving medical care to someone without introducing them to Krishna consciousness. Of course, the charity that we give in the Holy Dham, like the eye camps and other things like that, are service to the Vaishnavas. Because that's another category. See, it gets quite complicated. It's not simply, you know, it's either Maya or Krishna consciousness. Like if one's doing charity in the Holy Dham for the residents of the Holy Dham, even if you don't preach to them, and you should preach to them, you should get them to chant Hare Krishna, but even if you don't, it's service to Vaishnavas. Even the Muslim mendicants, basically, because they're living in the Holy Dham, they're actually dear to Krishna. Anyone born in Vrindavan, anyone who lives for a fortnight in Vrindavan or Mayapur. So that's important to understand. But apart from service in the Holy Dham, when we give charity to people, when we give help to people, we should do it in such a way that it brings them to Krishna consciousness. That's the standard. Not simply that we give them something that facilitates their sinful activities. Like if someone's in the hospital and we just pay for their meal, their meat meal or something like that. Or we pay for even someone's stay in the hospital who's not a devotee. That's mundane charity. It doesn't help someone come to Krishna consciousness. So that's really the standard. Does it actually help bring someone to the higher spiritual platform? Or does it just maintain them in their mundane conception, in their mundane activities? And based on that, we can decide how to help someone. So anyway, so this verse indicates that we should see everyone as a temple of Krishna. That is the real point. Everyone is a temple of Krishna, and do what's best for their Krishna consciousness. Offer respects to everyone on that basis. And of course, as devotees, that's why we put on tilak, because we're marking our body as a temple. We're recognizing the fact that our body is a temple of Krishna. So any questions or comments? We have about 5 more minutes left in class. These are some of the points I wanted to make. Questions, comments, arguments, problems, issues, discussions? No? Anyway, as I said, on the internet, it's become quite a controversial thing about mundane charity versus, you know, charity the devotee should be engaged in. Yes?
Even we know we're not supposed to be envious about everything.
We're not supposed to what?
Envy, about envy.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can't help with this. All the people love you.
What do we do? First of all, we're different than the mind. That's one thing we have to see. It's not that we're envious. It's that the mind comes up with all these different thoughts. And, you know, the mind, I guess, would exhibit envy, or at least influences us with its envious thoughts. So there's a difference between the mind and the intelligence. We should be able to identify that now the mind is coming up with this envious concept or concepts, and therefore that's not me. It's like anything else. It's like lust, envy, greed, illusion. It should be able to separate ourselves, utilizing the intelligence given to us through Shastras and from Srila Prabhupada, from what the mind is saying. Therefore Krishna says in the Gita, the mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. It's his enemy if it's uncontrolled. So you have to be able to be introspective enough to be able to ascertain when the mind is on the wrong tack. You know, the wrong mind is actually thinking of something that's not productive for Krishna consciousness. Our mind will do so many things. And then you start contemplating on that. And by the time you contemplate on it, then the mind runs away with the intelligence. That's what Krishna says in the Gita. Ajayato vishayak pumsa. That when one contemplates on the mind's rantings and ravings, Then you become attached to it. And when you become attached, jayate vichara, so sanghos teshu bhajayate, sangat sanjayate kama, the attachment becomes so intense it's qualified or labeled as kama or lust. Kama krodha, then you get anger, vijaya. Krodha bhavati samaha, then you get bewildered. Smriti vibramaha, you forget what you're supposed to be doing in life. You forget that you're engaged in self-realization. You forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so what does it mean to contemplate? You start thinking of the same thing. You become obsessive. You know, there's a disease, OC, you know, obsessive compulsive behavior. And I see many people are subjected to it. Not in the clinical sense. You know, clinical sense would be like, you know, compulsive behavior like hand washing, like Lady Macbeth. You know, she, of course, she did something really bad. You know, she killed someone. But out damn spot, and you just keep washing your hands over and over again. That's a compulsive behavior. Or let's say, another type is when you, let's say you're cooking in the kitchen, and you check to see if you turn the stove off, and then you check another time, and then another time. And for the next 2 hours, you're checking to see if you turn the stove off. I mean, checking once is okay. I mean, I do that too. But it's not that I'm going back and forth. I never make it to Mangalarti in my house because I'm checking the stove in my house. That's called compulsive behavior. And obsessive, but obsessive is actually a little harder to discern because people obsess on things. You know, so many things like he doesn't like me, or why doesn't he like me? Oh, Gurudev doesn't understand me. He never understood me. You know, we have all these things to obsess on. Oh, woe is me. I'm crazy. You know, just like, anyway, I don't know if I should do this example. Anyway, sometimes in japa, I'll give the example, someone else is chanting loudly, and it's hard to hear our japa, I have this experience, I can obsess on it. I can't do this anymore. It's getting too much for me. Instead, isn't it, we obsess on it. We obsess on it, but then, you know, just let me concentrate on something else. And then we're able to hear our japa in spite of that situation. So it's like that, you know, that we obsess on being angry with people, lusty, or, you know, desirous of some new gadget, you know, new computer. I see like the iPod or iPhone or something, 5, anything, you know, even though the one I have is perfectly good, and then I obsess on it, I must have it, and it must have a camera with 12 megapixels or something like that. You know, whatever it is. You know, and it's really interesting, and you obsess on angry things, you obsess on, you know, self-centered things, and it just grows more and more. It's like a cancer that grows in your consciousness. So what I find is, you know, let the thought comes in and just let it go, like so many rivers, like Krishna gives an example, so many rivers enter into the ocean, and the ocean is always still. So the river of some thought enters into our mind, just let it go to the ocean. Anyway, so much for obsession, compulsion. If you're subject to compulsion, see a doctor. Don't talk to me. I mean, if you're washing your hands all day long and your skin has come off, that happens sometimes, isn't it? The skin actually comes off in people's hands. It becomes so compulsive. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.